All right, well, good morning. Everybody well rested? Man, I did not sleep good last night. I've slept good this entire time, but I am 40 years old now, and I am snoring. My wife loves it. She just loves the fact that I snore. I kept waking myself up snoring last night. I was so tired. And I thought it was an animal outside of the house, honestly. So I'm tired, but I'm grateful to be here. So my name's Corey. My wife, Christy's right over there. Actually, I think we got a picture of my family up. Look at that. So that's us. That's my three boys, Garrett on the right, Everett on the left, and Callum in the middle. That's my family. And I'm grateful that we had a weekend away from my family. To be with you guys. I love my boys. Garrett's 11, Everett is 7, and Callum is 4. The funny thing is, for our students here, for our volunteers and all, you know that I like telling stories. I've told some ridiculous stories over the last 2 days. First off, again, let me reiterate, don't do backyard wrestling, okay? I heard some stories about that happening over the weekend. I said very clearly, don't try this at home, okay? No backyard wrestling. And then I told a story about me pulling a tree out of the ground. You guys remember that? I forgot we were live streaming these sessions. And so my kids heard, Daddy pulled that tree out of the ground, and he's been lying to us for 11 years. And so my four-year-old's been walking around going, Daddy's been lying to me for 11 years. It's like, you don't understand math or time or anything. So thankfully, it's snowing right now in Middle Georgia, and they're not watching this session. So we're going to leave it at that. That's my family. For those of you who have been here for a while, we actually came to church here years and years ago. And we sat right back there 14 years ago. Long story short, we had moved down. I was working in Albany at the time. We were kind of in between, like, places to live. My wife got a job here in teaching in Moultrie, and so we ended up right here. And 14 years ago, I met Matt and Leanna, and they had one kid back then, and now they're going for the record. I don't know. But they had one child back then, and we came here on a Sunday. We felt very welcomed, and they were at our house that Monday evening, and we probably sat and talked for an hour or something like that, and at the very end, Matt and Leanna looked at us and said, can we be friends? And I went, yes, I would love to be friends, and we've been friends for the last 14 years, man. It's been awesome, and so going from there to here is kind of a big deal for me personally. Ministry was not on my radar at all when we first came here, and God changed all that. So I'm grateful for a church that made us feel welcome all those years ago and a church that has made us feel welcome this weekend. And I'm grateful for this guy over here. Listen, you have, for those of you who are here at First Baptist Moultrie, you have a great pastor. Yeah, so you should clap. He has been a good friend. And even last night when we were sitting around and he was telling me some stuff that I didn't want to hear, I was laying in bed last night going, well, that's my friend. He told me some stuff that I didn't want to hear, and I appreciate that, man. I really do. I'm still mad at you, but I appreciate it. And then Pastor Rob, man, thank you so much for having me. I've been in your place of, like, bringing in somebody that you don't know and hoping that it's not bad, and so I'm sorry if it's been bad. But this morning we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, so please, students, turn in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. So over this weekend, we've been talking about faith. We've been talking about imperfection. We've been talking about how we are made perfect, even in our imperfection, in our perfect King Jesus. We have looked at Hebrews chapter 11. We have seen the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Like these are the big time guys, okay? These are the guys that you should know about as you're walking and growing in your faith. These are our heroes of our faith. We've seen the great things that these guys have done. the great things that God did through them. We've also looked at and understood that these people who are the heroes of our faith are imperfect people. God uses imperfect people to bring about his perfect will and plans in our lives. God uses imperfect people. And if you want proof of that, look at me. God uses imperfect people to bring about his perfect will and purpose in our lives. Before we get started, let's pray this morning. Father, thank you so much that even in our imperfection, you sent us your perfect King, King Jesus. And even in our sin, even in our screw-ups, God, you still choose to love us. You still show us so much grace. You still show us so much mercy. And I'm so grateful. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. And God, we just ask all that and praise you for all that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Point one this morning, what does it mean to be faithful? Having faith and being faithful are two different things. Having faith and being faithful are two different things. So I'm 40 now. By the way, when I came here all those years ago, I had hair. I was a good-looking young man. Yeah, you think I was born without hair? No hair follicles? It is funny when we have students or like young adults come over to our house, they'll see pictures of us from our wedding, and they go, Mr. Corey, you had hair? Like, yeah, man, I wasn't born without hair follicles. Students made it fall out. You guys did this to me. But having faith and being faithful are two different things. So I'm 40. I just had to go have a physical. And they said, everything looks good, but your cholesterol is high. And I thought, well, that's not what I want to hear, but I guess this is the conversations we're going to have at 40 now. So they said, like, your cholesterol is kind of high, so you have two options. You can go on cholesterol medicine, or you can go on a diet. And I thought, how bad's the medicine, you know? Because I don't want to go on a diet. I'm on a diet. I'm eating whatever I want. That's how we got here, doc. But they said, you know, here's some of the side effects that you could have from the cholesterol medicine. And I went, I don't really want to do that. So I'm on a diet. I haven't been on a diet this weekend, though. It's D&I weekend. I'm eating pizza. But so I'm going on a diet. It's called the Mediterranean diet. I've never been to the Mediterranean, but if this is the food they're eating, I don't like those people. But having faith in a diet is one thing. Knowing that the diet will do the things that it's supposed to do, but not being faithful in following the diet is another thing. Like, I can have faith to say, like, this food is nutritious and it will make me healthy. But if I go and follow after the other food that makes me unhealthy, that's being unfaithful. I have to understand that I have faith in the diet. And I've also got to be faithful in living in the diet. It's also like saying that you'll go and fight for our country, but then you never enlist. Like it takes an action in order to be faithful. Like, faith is a noun. So it's a belief, it's a trust, it's a conviction over some kind of principle that you have. But real faith is a verb. Real faith takes action. Real faith takes commitment. It takes loyalty. It takes obedience to action. It's one thing to say something that you believe in it. It's another thing to do it and live it out. Real faith is being faithful. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's believing this is true, being convicted by my beliefs, and then living my life differently because of it. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, everybody say faith.
Faith.
Without faith, It is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. If I have faith, I am to seek out the one that I put my faith in. So we know that we have faith, but we also must be faithful. Being faithful is living out your faith. This is what real faith is. Real faith is this: trusting in God and what he says and then acting on it. Real faith is trusting what God says, what this says, and then acting on it. Abraham trusted God that he would provide a sacrifice for his son. He trusted God and lived out his life faithfully when God said, go and sacrifice your son, your only son. Go and sacrifice your son. He trusted, he was faithful in that, but he also had faith knowing that God said, from this son, there's going to be this great nation that's brought about. He still had faith in going, okay, I'm going to go do this thing, but I have faith and trust in God that God is going to provide the sacrifice in place of him. And God did. God provided the ram. Right now in our lives, we have been in this place of trying to be faithful and to trust in God. Trusting in his process and trying to live it out. So I talked about this first early service this morning. So I did an ancestry. Have you ever done like the ancestry, like the 23andMe and stuff? I thought for sure something cool is coming out of this. Like, I'm going to find out that I've got some cool ancestor. Like, my family did something really awesome. I got the most boring ancestry possible. This was my ancestry. My family came from Ireland, and they settled in Georgia. End of story. No one has gone anywhere. No one has done anything. That's it. So I have always considered myself like a Georgia guy. Like, I'm just going to be here. I'm just going to live in Georgia. My family's going to live in Georgia, and I've had no problem with that. I love this place. I love this state. But recently, like over the last almost 2 years, we've been going through this process, and we have been in this place right now where, like, we're trusting in God to take us through the next step in ministry, the next place in ministry. And so for the last 2 years, I've been working different jobs. I'm working in hospice now, which is like I get to do ministry in hospice, which is awesome, but it's also very hard. But I'm not on staff at a church right now, but I'm trusting in God to put us in the next place in ministry. And so there's been like different churches that have reached out. Some of them we've had conversations. Some of those have just kind of like dwindled off and nothing's happened. But over the last 6 or 7 months, I'm just kidding. over the last like probably 3 or 4 months, we've been having this church conversation with a church in Colorado. And every time we've brought that up, like, hey, we're talking to a church in Colorado, people go, oh, and I go, yeah. And I've never had like a desire to leave Georgia, but we've been walking through this process, like, is God moving us? We're gonna trust in him and we're gonna be faithful. We have faith in him and we're gonna be faithful to go wherever he says for us to go. And so just before Thanksgiving, my wife and I got on an airplane in Atlanta, Georgia, close to where we live, and we flew out. And when we took off, I said, God, we are moving to Colorado. And I was for sure that's where God was moving us. And we landed in Colorado, and we went to visit this church, and we met the staff. And just over that time and praying over some things, like specific things that we were asking for, like it was very clear we're not moving to Colorado. And I was not upset by that. Being 22 hours away from family would be extremely difficult, right? But in that process, like, we have been faithful and trusting in God with that. And if God had called us to Colorado, we would have gone. Students, adults in this room, what is God calling you right now to trust in him to do? Like, God's not asking for you just to put your faith in him. God's asking that he wants you to live your life faithfully for him. God's calling all of us to trust in him. What is God calling you right now that has been a burden on your heart? Like, God, I don't really want to trust you with this. That's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. What's God calling you now to trust in him to do? Not on your own, not in your own imperfection, but in your perfect King and his power. What is God calling you to do? Sometimes that means opening up your hands and handing it over to him, hanging on to things very loosely. I have a friend who's a very good friend, and we've been talking through like this time in life, this season in life, and he's asked me many times, Corey, do you want Jesus or do you just want his blessing? Like, do you just want to sit with him and spend time with him, or are you looking at his hands and going, what you got for me? Because those are two different things. Jesus does not want you just to look at him and say, all right, what you got for me? I'm coming back to you. Like, you're my genie. I'm asking for a wish. I expect you to give it to me. Or do you want to just be with Jesus? Because there's a difference in faith and being faithful to Jesus. I hope that as a church here, we're not people that look at Jesus and go, what you got? But rather we're looking at him and looking at his face and saying, you're enough. I just want you. And whatever you have for me is enough. I just want you. Point two, as we continue on this morning, be faithful in your imperfection. I used to have this belief that other people had it all together. Anybody ever like fall into that trap? Anybody ever get on social media and believe that everything they see is true? I don't have social media for that reason. Being faithful doesn't mean getting it right all the time. Being faithful doesn't mean that up to this point you've lived your life in a certain way that now God can use you. Being faithful means that in your imperfection, you're still trusting in him. Be faithful in your imperfection. So our heroes in Hebrews chapter 11 are a perfect example of this. Abraham is seen as like a father of our faith. He's a hero of our faith. But Abraham, in his imperfection, he doubted God. Abraham was a liar. Abraham had an extramarital affair and had a baby out of wedlock. That's a hero of our faith. Not because of anything that he did, but because of how perfect and loving God is. God uses people in their imperfection. Moses was the greatest figure of the Old Testament. He led Israel out of slavery, but Moses was a murderer. Moses doubted God. Moses had serious anger issues. David was a man after God's own heart. He was the king of Israel. He wrote most of the Psalms, but David himself was a liar, was an adulterer, and was a murderer. We can go on. We can talk about Peter, who denied Jesus, who doubted Jesus, who ran for his life, or Paul, who killed Christians and wanted to destroy the church. And instead, God uses this imperfect person to bring about his perfect will and perfect purpose in our lives. You see, God doesn't use perfect people. He doesn't use people that are already equipped. He uses imperfect people, and he equips those people that he calls. I love the story of Peter in the Bible. Because God, being so rich in his mercy, restored Peter. Peter, if you go read the Gospels. He was the first person to look at Jesus and say, you're the Messiah. And he believed that. And Jesus was using him to become this early leader in the church. But Peter denied Christ in front of a little girl. He was scared of a little girl. And he ran for his life. deny Jesus. And in John chapter 21, like Jesus restores Peter, and Peter denied Jesus three times. And then Jesus asks Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? He asks him three times, do you love me? For the three times that he denied Jesus. And then as he restores Peter, and Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit, and Peter becomes an early leader of the church, 3,000 people get saved in one day. And numbers are important in the Bible. I do believe there's 1,000 people for every single time that Peter denied Christ. You see, God uses imperfect people because he is perfect. And he's a perfect and loving God. God doesn't waste anything. Our imperfection being canceled out because of our perfect King and his perfect sacrifice on the cross. God doesn't waste anything if we remain faithful to him, even in our imperfection. He will restore what the locusts have destroyed. Joel 2:25. We went through that the first night we were here together. Even in our sin, and what our sin wrecks in our life, the Lord will restore what the locusts have eaten. Point three. Now what? Hebrews 11, verses 39 and 40. After all that, after we've looked at all these people in Hebrews chapter 11, after all the things that they did, all these amazing things that God did through them, and we understand their imperfection in this too. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 and 40. And all these people, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. After all that, after all these people, all these things that God had done through them, all these people, verse 39, they did not receive what was promised. What a gyp. Like I live my life in this way, and I didn't get the prize at the very end. Like I want to be faithful, and I want to get something for it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, anytime you see therefore in the Bible, you ask yourself, what's it there for? It's because of all of this that was said before it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated now at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. You see, this great cloud of witnesses is saying to you now, as you've looked at Hebrews chapter 11, and we have looked at it a lot this weekend, this great cloud of witnesses has said, you know what your promise is? Everybody look up here. You know what your promise is? You know what your prize is? It's better than anything that you could hope for. It's Jesus. And it's not the things in his hands. It's not the blessings that he can give you. It's just Jesus. This great cloud of witnesses that would be talking to you right now and saying like, hey, keep going. Because what you're getting is the greatest prize of all. It's Jesus. See, Jesus is better than Moses. God was better than Moses staying in Egypt and living in the riches of Egypt. He's so much better than David. David would have said, being king is great, but Jesus is better. Having an earthly kingdom is great, but having the kingdom, God's kingdom, is better. He's better than the wisdom of Solomon. He's better than the strength of Samson. He's better than the life and plan that Peter had for himself. Everybody look at me. Like, I know you're tired. Stay with me for just a few more minutes, okay? Peter had a plan for his life. He had a path that he was going to be on. Jesus is better. You probably have a plan for your life and things that you want to chase after. But if it's not what Jesus wants for you, Jesus' plan is better. Even in hardship, even in death, Jesus is better. How do I know? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us so. What's on the back of your shirt right now? This great cloud of witnesses is saying, keep running, laying aside your sin, laying aside your desires, laying aside the promises that you have for your life, and moving forward, keep going, keep running, keep going for the promise. And even in your imperfection, and even in your imperfect race that you're going to run, you still get the prize because we have a perfect King in King Jesus. Jesus is better because he uses imperfect people. He uses them in such beautiful ways because he is a perfect King who keeps his promises because he loves you so very dearly. Jesus is better. Jesus loves you. And you may be listening to a lie right now saying that Jesus loves everybody else but me. I have had that lie in my brain for years before. Jesus can save everybody else but me. Jesus can use everybody else but me. Jesus loves you even in your imperfection because he's perfect. And Jesus is calling you. And if you've never trusted in him for salvation, Jesus is calling you and he wants you. He doesn't want you because you're bringing anything to the table. He's brought everything to the table already. Jesus wants you. And if you're walking with Jesus and you're going, hey, my walk with Jesus has become a little stagnant, Jesus wants you. And he knows that everything in this life is less than him. Jesus is better. Come to Jesus in whatever way you need to this morning. There's going to be people that are going to be in place to talk to you. Jesus is better. Let's pray this morning. Father, we love you. Jesus, you're better. You're our perfect King. You're our Savior. You're our Messiah. You give us so much more than just salvation. And if salvation was all you gave us, it was way too much. But you give us so much more. But you don't want us to come to you just for your blessings. You want us to come to you because you are the blessing. Jesus, you're better. God, draw us to you today. God, we love you. We ask all that. In Jesus' name, amen.